and great personalities still have no faith in God. They are hesitant and cannot stay fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, faith is the most important factor for progress in Krishna consciousness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that faith is the complete conviction that simply by serving the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, one can achieve all perfection. That is called real faith. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, 31-14, Yatataror mulanishe chanena tripyanti tatskandha pujo pashaka pranopaharachcha yatendriyanam tathaiva sarvarhanam achyuttejya. By giving water to the root of a tree, one satisfies its branches, twigs, and leaves. And by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the senses of the body. Similarly, by engaging in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and all other living entities. Therefore, after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita that one should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. If one is convinced of this philosophy of life, that is faith. Now, the development of that faith is the process of Krishna consciousness. There are three divisions of Krishna conscious men. In the third class are those who have no faith. Even if they are officially engaged in devotional service, they cannot achieve the highest perfectional stage. Most probably, they will slip after some time. They may become engaged, but because they haven't complete conviction and faith, it is very difficult for them to continue in Krishna consciousness. We have practical experience in discharging our missionary activity that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness with some hidden motive. And as soon as they are economically a little well situated, they give up this process and take to their old ways again. It is only by faith that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. As far as the development of faith is concerned, one who is well versed in the literatures of devotional service and has attained the stage of firm faith is called a first-class person in Krishna consciousness. And in the second class are those who are not very advanced in understanding the devotional scriptures, but who automatically have firm faith that Krishna bhakti, or service to Krishna, is the best course, and so in good faith have taken it up. Thus, they are superior to the third class, who have neither perfect knowledge of the scriptures nor good faith, but by association and simplicity are trying to follow. The third class person in Krishna consciousness may fall down, but when one is in the second class, he does not fall down. And for the first class person in Krishna consciousness, there is no chance of falling down. One in the first class will surely make progress and achieve the result at the end. As far as the third class person in Krishna consciousness is concerned, although he has faith in the conviction that devotional service to Krishna is very good, he has not yet gained adequate knowledge of Krishna through scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes these third class persons in Krishna consciousness have some tendency toward karma yoga and jnana yoga, and sometimes they are disturbed. But as soon as the infection of karma yoga and jnana yoga is vanquished, they become second class or first class persons in Krishna consciousness. Faith is also divided into three stages and described in Srimad Bhagavatam. First class attachment, second class attachment, and third class attachment are also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. Those who have no faith, even after hearing about Krishna and the excellence of devotional service, who think that it is simply a eulogy, find the path very difficult, even if they are supposedly engaged in devotional service. For them there is very little hope of gaining perfection. Thus faith is very important in the discharge of devotional service. Om Agyana Timirandhasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So Ashradhadana is the first word. That is that without faith, a person cannot make advancement in Krishna consciousness to the ultimate goal. One can make some advancement, but not achieve perfection without this aspect of faith. And it is described there are different stages in the process of developing Krishna consciousness. There's a famous shloka that says, Adau Shraddha. Adau means at the very first. The very first, there must be some faith. And the second stage of progress is Sadhu Sangha, the association of devotees. And by this association, one can actually come to the third stage, which is called Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya roughly means the process of sadhana bhakti, by performing devotional service under the instructions of a spiritual master. It's very important, actually, that one, and it is emphasized in many places in the scriptures, that one should receive this knowledge, one should receive the instruction from a bona fide source. This is considered most important. And I'm reminded now, seeing this very nice program for His Holiness Mahavishnu Swami today, and being present here for some time, how much he embodies this facet of having complete faith in Krishna. There was never any question in his mind or in his actions or in his words that he was rightly situated as a devotee of Krishna, as a servant of Krishna, that Krishna consciousness for him was the be-all, the end-all of his life at this point in time. And he was a very elderly gentleman. He had a long life, a long career, he had family life, and so on and so forth. But at the end, he had decided that this Krishna consciousness was the ultimate perfection of life. And in this way, one can see remarkable similarities to our Srila Prabhupada, who also, you know, had a long and varied career in different areas within his lifetime, marriage, family, working in business and having his own business, and yet at all times always fixed and firm in the understanding that service to Krishna, devotional service, is the perfection of life. And sometimes we find ourselves in situations in this material world where we cannot just abandon commitments that we may have in this material world, but at least we can keep in mind the goal, that what is the perfection of life. Now this verse carries on from the previous verse, a very famous previous verse, Rajavidya Rajaguyam Pavitram Idam Itumam Pratyakshavagamam Dharmyam Susukam Kartum Avyayam. So that verse, it's described that this is the king of knowledge. It is the most confidential of all secrets, and it is the perfection of religion, because it gives realization of the self, you know, by practice, by actual practical application. One gets to understand the self, and it is eternal, and it is joyfully performed. So the question is very nice. I looked at the verse, the translation, the word for word, and it's described that the perfection of religion is described as pavitram. Pavitram, really the English equivalent more or less, is pure. So it is the feature of a pure religion is the perfection of religion. And sometimes we think maybe that it's a sectarian kind of thing. But it is not sectarian. there are many devotees from different faiths, from different what we would think of as sectarian religions, who are very advanced in Krishna consciousness, in God consciousness. There's one example I like. There was a man. He was one of the heads of the Catholic Church. I'm not sure, Cardinal, Monsignor, or whatever. Anyway, he had this experience with Mother Teresa. So this Mother Teresa, she was very famous for her charitable work for the poor, see? And she was very constant. She was very firm in her determination that she should help poor people. So she embodied that charity. So anyway, she had come to Rome, I don't know, to have audience with the Pope or, you know, these people. And the media was there. And anyway, it was like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning before the program that she was attending ended. And so anyway, the next day, this high church official, he met with Mother Teresa for some reason anyway. And so he noticed that she looked really, really tired. Really, it was, you know. And so he asked Mother Teresa, he said, well, you look like really, really tired. So she said, well, I didn't get much sleep, you know. I got up at 4 o'clock, you know, this morning. So he said, well, I mean, why did you get up at 4 o'clock? And Mother Teresa, as he described, Mother Teresa looked at him as if he was a little crazy, and she said, to pray. You know? And this is a quality that we also see in devotees like Srila Prabhupada, who would get up at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning to translate his books. He said, well, there was no question of, you know, well, I had a hard time. I was preaching. You know, we were out for a big engagement, and you know, we came back. I had to get my 4 hours or 6 hours or whatever it is. For him, that was not his program. This is faith. This is one can see in the descriptions of the pastimes of the six Goswamis how they would eat very little, sleep practically not at all. And yet they would produce vast volumes of literature on Krishna consciousness, or they would perform great sadhana. So this is the hallmark, we can say, of great faith. Now, we're not in the same condition or situation or upbringing or any of these things that, for the most part, allow us, or we're not habituated to pure sadhana bhakti in this way. So our question of faith, our faith is that we simply have to, as best we can, follow the instructions, perform sadhana, perform service to the pure devotee, and in this way make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And it's not that we should not think that, oh well, this is not this is an automatic thing or like that. One verse comes to mind earlier in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, where Krishna describes Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavan Mam Prapadyante Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sadurlaba, that after many, many births, one who is in knowledge, Jnanavan, one who has knowledge. And it's quite amusing, actually, that in this purport, it's described that jnana yoga and karma yoga are infections on the path of bhakti. So one who is jnanavan, one who actually knows Krishna, that he surrenders. And then it describes that samahatma sudurlabha, that such a great soul, such a mahatma, is very, very rare. It's not so. On the one hand, you know, we have to be encouraged by examples like Mahavishnu Maharaj, and on the other hand, we have to be realists as to that this is only due to up to the mercy of Krishna, actually, that we can attain perfection. It's described that, I was explaining Bhajana Kriya, that's the third stage, and that third stage leads to what is called Anartha Nivritti. So anartha nivritti means giving up unwanted things. And basically, we, at least for most of us who joined very early on in the movement, we can see that we gave up many unwanted things. As soon as we heard, oh, intoxication, illicit sex life, gambling, and meat eating, that these things are unnecessary, and in terms of spiritual life, they are very much unwanted. And one knows, one sees how difficult it is to give up these habits, very bad habits, and there's quite a few stories of devotees, you know, who would join the temple, and you know, in the early days they would have to sneak out for a cigarette, you know, because they hadn't been able to overcome this addiction, you know. But mostly, you know, devotees made it. So these things are there. So now we come to the question of faith. And what exactly do we mean by faith? So faith in God, how do we describe faith in God? There's a very actually humorous lecture that I heard on the ISKCON Desire Tree. They have many lectures by many devotees. And there was a very amusing lecture given by Radhika Raman Prabhu, otherwise known as Ravi Gupta. He has a doctorate. He's one of these geniuses. I think he graduated college at 15 or something like, some incredible thing like that. Anyway, so he gave this nice class that everybody has faith in something. And he said, now, on the internet, there's a new faith, and that faith is that Google is God. So then they describe, what are the symptoms that Google is God? See? So the first is, well, God is omnipresent, right? So anywhere you are, you can log on and Google is there. So Google is omnipresent. So God is omniscient. See? God knows everything. So similarly, when you log on to Google, you can ask a question. And when you ask the question, Google will direct you to the answer. It may not have the answer exactly, but it will direct you to Wikipedia or wherever. So this analogy, it was played out. And actually, he said there's actually people who take this quite seriously, that there's actually a church of Google, and they log on to Google. Actually, it's a little better than the 60s, when I remember the graffiti that Eric Clapton is God. But that was a different era, and there was a lot more sort of fuzzy thinking in those days. So anyway, that Google. So people have faith in many different things in this material world, and directing that faith toward the true recipient, the most deserving recipient of Godhead. Directing that towards Krishna and towards devotional service is really the most important thing that we have to do as devotees. And there were a few other notes that I made. There's a nice when we're talking about pure devotees and the most advanced devotees. There's a nice section in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in chapter 2. There's a description of Shukadeva Goswami. So Shukadeva Goswami, when he came out of the womb, actually he was in the womb for like 13 years, 16 years, some incredible amount of time, that he didn't want to enter into the material world, and so he remained within the womb. And so, of course, this medically is a little bit suspect, but we have faith. We have faith because it is in Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh, that's very nice. Because it is in Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that this is on a level, on a platform, which perhaps we are not understanding due to our scientific contamination, that Shukadeva Goswami was in the womb for so long. And as soon as he was born, he immediately ran away from home. And his father cried out. You know, his father was extremely upset. His father, Srila Vyasadeva, who compiled the Vedas, wrote down everything in the Vedas, and so he was very upset because he felt that, and it's described in the purport, that his son had not received the purificatory rituals that were prescribed in the Vedas. So how could he become advanced in Krishna consciousness? And then it's described in the purports, the various stages, that one who accepts a spiritual master, first he's initiated, and then he becomes what is called Dvija, twice born. And then once, after receiving instruction from the spiritual master and studying the scriptures very carefully and thoroughly, he becomes what is called Vipra. Vipra means expert Brahman. And Srila Prabhupada describes further in the purport that from this platform, this Brahmanical platform, then he attains the stage of Vaishnava. Then he must become, with that knowledge, Vaishnava. And that is the understanding from that description of those verses. And so this is... It's described that for Shukadev Goswami, there was no question of Vedic ritual because he was already Vaishnav from the womb, from hearing in the womb, from understanding from within the womb the scriptures as described by Srila Vyasadeva, that he was already Vaishnav. And so it was not necessary for him. And Srila Prabhupada also describes that similarly, such devotees as Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family, never underwent any purificatory rites, and yet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as pure devotee, as pure Vaishnav. So in this way we understand that Vaishnav is transcendental to the, and this is the purport of the famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papyo Moksha Yishyami Mashucha, that simply by surrendering to me, Krishna says, that you will have moksha, and I will be protecting you. So that kind of faith, that is the most advanced faith, and that is what we aspire to. To having that faith that Krishna will carry what we lack and preserve what we have. And so these are some of the insights for this verse. It's also interesting that one who does not have faith, of course, the downside for those who don't have faith is aprapyamam. Prapya means come from the word prapti siddhi. We've heard of this. The different siddhis that people have. So prapti means to acquire things, to be able to take things. And so aprapya mam, one cannot take me, Krishna says. So this is very important, that we be able to take Krishna somehow by our reading, by our understanding, by our service. And it described that this knowledge is passed on by the Guru, that famous verse, Bhagavad Gita 4:34, Upadakshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshina, that sevaya is the vehicle that brings knowledge of Krishna, that answers the question of Krishna consciousness. So in somehow, and that service is, it's not confined. We think of service in a very kind of derogatory way. We think of the master and servant as being a very unfortunate position in this material world. One wants always to be the master. But in spiritual life, it is just the opposite. By being the servant of the Guru. And it's described actually in the relationship between devotee and Vaishnav, but between Vaishnavas, that actually the topmost Vaishnavas who are on the platform of what was described in this purport as first-class devotee, that the proper engagement is to render service to them. And the second class, that one should become the disciple of the second class devotee. So the second class devotees that are actually the evangelical, the gurus of the movement. That is the second class position. And from that, they attain to the first class by having this desire to serve and to be and to bring Krishna consciousness to others. Krishna says, such a person is very most dear to me, who brings Krishna consciousness to people. And in that way, they become the first class devotee. There was a nice description in the class this morning. There was one of the videos, and Mother Ruchira was explaining how Srila Prabhupada, in his final days, when he came to the manor, to Bhaktivedanta Manor, in 1977, when he was in physically, it was a miracle that he was surviving. It was simply by Krishna's mercy and his will that Srila Prabhupada was able to function at all. And she remarked how you could see that actually Srila Prabhupada had dropped the way in which he had been in the second class, preaching and initiating and like that, that he had dropped all that completely. And whoever came to see him, he would just praise them. He said, "Oh, you are such a wonderful devotee. Oh, you know, I'm so grateful and thankful to you that you have become the servant of my spiritual master, that you are pushing on this mission." So he was not seeing at all he was not displaying any of the manifestations of the second class devotee at this point in his lila, in his pastimes. So this is some realizations of this verse and purport. And so if anyone has any questions or comments, I'm very happy to hear. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. That is the infection, yes. The ulterior motive, always. What's that? Ahaituki apratiyata. That is, everything, it must be completely unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. That is the key. And that is the pure religion. That is the pavitram. Pavitram dharmyam of the previous verse. Yes.
So here he is giving the feeling of Krishna. Oh, Krishna is so excited to feel the devotion and devotee. It is so much. why not all these 621 million people?